What's up, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton. Another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. You know, I've been off the grid for a little bit, and since I've been going, a lot of things have been happening. So let's jump right into it. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. You know, we had a lot of stuff going on with the NBA, a lot of upsets during the playoffs. I want to say a lot of upsets, but, you know, just a little crazy. Nobody expected the conference finals to look the way they look. You know, nobody expected Toronto to kind of get manhandled the way they got manhandled. They just look like they didn't even want to be there. They look terrified of Cleveland. I mean, you know, Cleveland's got their hearts. That's just kind of how it goes when you don't really play with confidence. You know, I thought this was going to be a year that they make a big difference, and they kind of didn't do it. So now we're here at the conference finals. We've got a young Boston team playing against a veteran Cleveland team. Nobody expected this. Everybody expected it maybe to be Philly. I won't lie. I thought Philly might be there. Philly had the better talent, but they just couldn't put it together this year. So now we're deadlocked 2-2 after last night's victory. Young Celtics, they protected home court. They proved that they belong. You know, the Cavs showed, you know, they showed the Cavs they can deal with adversity. You know, they had them back to, you know, they had their backs against the wall in games 1 and 2. You know, Cleveland didn't really kind of put the nail in the coffin like they could have. And Boston kind of fought. You know, they had that grit and that grind. You know, it's kind of like the Boston way. And these guys are young. They're hungry. They got some young stars on their team. And the fact that they're down with their two best players, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, that says a lot about them. But, you know, Cleveland came out. They defended home court, which they were supposed to do. Game 3 was more convincing to me. I saw the way they came out. They came out a little hungrier. And I think when you look at Game 4 last night, you know, I already have a few plays in my head that could have turned around for the young C's. You know, Rozier, you know, he got fouled on that three. He missed 2 free throws. Tatum's missed dunk. Bynes wasn't aggressive. You know, the Cavs out hustling him for little shots here and there. You know, Kevin Love, he didn't have a great game. You know, he had 9. You know, he had 9 last night. But he hit a crucial three. You know, Tristan Thompson, you know, he had one of those games. You just kind of like, damn, like when you're going to get 13 and 12 from him again. So that was a big part of everything last night. So for me, just looking at them and looking at those little things here and there, you know, like I put it to you like this, you know, everybody shot terrible for Boston. Jaylen Brown was 10 for 23. You know, that normally doesn't really happen. 23 shots, that doesn't really go that way. You know, who else had, let's look at Cleveland. You know, Larry Nance Jr., he had 7 big points off the bench. You know, Kyle Korver had 14, you know, Tristan Thompson, again, you're not really going to get 13 and 12 from him every night. You know, last night, George Hill had 13. LeBron was always going to be LeBron. He had 44. So my thing with them is, like, LeBron is almost like Tom Brady. You know, you hope he has a bad game. He's going to get his regardless. How he gets it is just dependent. You know, LeBron could have 30, and it could be one of those smooth 12 for 18 nights. You know what I mean? And he balances himself out, shoots well. Or it could be a 12 for 30 night. You know, it can happen. It happens to the best of them. You know, LeBron, I say, you know, neutralize him. Focus on everybody around you. And if you do a good job at that, that's when you're on to something. So I think, you know, game 4, although they lost by 9, they let a lot of good opportunities go. They missed a lot of open shots. They didn't really hustle. Everybody was kind of forcing shots. And, you know, for me, going into game 5, I think they got to defend home court. If they can defend home court and they can get that, I think they're on to something. You know, just they have to come ready. They have to be ready. They have to fight hard. And they have to play as hard as they can play. You know, they're better than this. You know, you're looking at Marcus Smart. You know, he started 0 for 6 last night. You know, he doesn't really score much. He's not known as a guy that you're going to score. He does a little bit of everything else. But if he can get off, Jaylen Brown can kind of tone it down. He's not 10 for 23 like he was last night. Terry Rozier, you know, if he hits his free throws, you know, he's better than 6 for 15. You know, Tatum is usually better than 5 for 13. So we know what we're going to get. But it's really going to be a great series. So I think if they can neutralize LeBron's support and cash, I mean, you know, there's no moral victories, but game 4 just kind of show, look, we're young, but we're also hungry, and we're not afraid to do anything and get out there and get out, you know, and get everything crazy, get everything going and get crazy against the Cavs. While we're talking about this, let's congratulate LeBron on, passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's now the all-time leader in postseason field goals, maybe in history. So pretty big accomplishment for a guy that's a pass first guy. You guys are like, how's he a pass first guy? He's got over 30 some odd thousand points, but he also has over 8,000 assists, you know, 8,000 rebounds. A pretty versatile guy. So, nonetheless, he's one of the best to ever do it. He'll be in the Mount Rushmore of the NBA when it's all said and done. And I think no matter what you think about him individually as a person, a player, you know, not a person, nobody really puts into effect what you think about a person. But I think what you think about the player, you know, some people have a bunch of different things to say. I, for one, you know, I just say he's something we've never really seen before. So the fact that he's doing what he's doing year 15, as strong as he is, still going strong, he looks like he's, you know, in his 10th, 11th season. Looks like he's just kind of shaving time off. We know Father Time's undefeated, but he's doing his thing. So the fact that he passed Kareem already and, you know, it looks like he's going to be playing at a high level for another 4 or 5 years is kind of sick and ridiculous. So he's going to put a lot of records out of reach. And this is one of many. So congrats to him. on the best play in the game today. Let's move on to the West. You look at the West, you know, you look at the Rockets and the Warriors. They split the first two games in Houston. The first game, you know, Golden State came out firing on all cylinders. They weren't even fully loaded. You know, you look at it and you look at the standpoint of it being like, okay, well, they kind of came out. They did what they were supposed to do. Game two, Houston came out. They kind of put their foots on their throats. They kind of got them out of there. But again, game two, you know, you're not really going to expect, you know, no disrespect to him, but you're not really going to expect PJ Tucker to kind of come out and give you 25 the way he did. You know, you look at the other game, they lost by 41. That's kind of crazy. You know, you're the number one team in the NBA, the best record. You know, what are you going to get from the other guys? PJ Tucker had 25. Game two, game three, he's got what? He's 2 for 5, 6 points, 30, you know, in 33 minutes. So it just depending on who shows up tonight. You know, Golden State, as I write this now, as you know, the game's about 8 minutes away. Iguodala's out tonight. You know, he played a big part in the last game. But I think, you know, they got enough firepower to kind of make things work as far as game four goes. But, you know, series is 2-1 now. Warriors found their flow. You know, Steph Curry's kind of like the engine that makes it go. We all know Kevin Durant's the best player on that team, but it's something about Steph Curry. When he gets going, everything else just seems to click for everybody else. You know, it opens it up for Klay, opens it up for Draymond, opens it up for Kevin Durant. And, you know, I like to call them, you know, once they get rolling, it's hard to stop. They're like a video game team. It's like you've never seen nothing like this. It's kind of, you never think nothing like this can ever happen. This is like something you see on NBA 2K. You know, for me, I'm a little older, so it's like maybe NBA Live, where you kind of make a crazy team and you got the best players in the world on your team and you run through everybody. This is kind of what it is. And, you know, I think Daryl Morey and the Rockets, they kind of had the wrong mindset. Initially, it's like, oh, they got CP3, so, and, you know, the team improved immensely. After that, it's like, oh, we built a team to beat them. You can't build a team to beat, you know, just to beat the Warriors. You know, again, that mindset that's out there, it's like, oh, we got to beat them, and that's that. Like, I don't know, God, you know, in the event that they did beat them, which I don't think, by the way, but let's say they got out the West. There's no guarantee they'll beat Cleveland or Boston. It's no guarantee. You know, the Celtics, everybody was expecting them to be out at the second round. Everybody had Philadelphia going to the conference finals and such, but they're a young team, and they're hungry, and, like, they're only going to get better. But, you know, as far as the Rockets go, it's like Daryl Morey pointed out that, like, we built a team to beat Golden State. No, you got a team to build to win a championship. Granted, they are the champions, but, you know, you want to put that mindset out, like, look, it's championship a bust, not, like, Golden State a bust. Because it's like you don't want to sit there and say, oh, yeah, we beat the Rockets. We beat the Warriors, and then you get out the West, and it's just like, okay, well, we're here. It's really nothing. So it's a little crazy, but, you know, I got the Warriors winning in five. It's kind of crazy. You know, I've been wrong before, but, you know, the way they look when Steph Curry's going and he's on, I mean, you know, he didn't have any Steph-like games. And then all of a sudden, it's like, boom, it just hits, you know, and next thing you know, like, when they get going, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one that knows. You can go to the bathroom, go in there, wash your hands, brush your teeth, wash your face. You could come up and Golden State is up by, like, 25. It's crazy how that happens. You know, Steph got going, and everybody else kind of been clicking on all cylinders. Kevin Durant had a quote-unquote bad game. You know, he only had 25. You know, look at Klay. Klay only had 13. So just imagine if Klay gets going. You know, and you look at what Draymond's doing, 10, 17, and 6. Like, come on, man. Like, he does a little bit of everything. So, you know, Iguodala's out tonight in this game, like I said. But, I mean, you know, you can throw Livingston in that starting lineup, and everybody else steps it up a notch. I don't really see how anything falls off, you know. So this is one of those things I'm looking at right now. Like, okay, this is going to be pretty interesting to see how it all turns out, right? So as I'm talking about the NBA, as I'm here, and I'm going to stick on this for a minute, I just want to say, look, let's just talk about another thing. It's been like this ongoing LeBron and Jordan debate. Let me be the first person to say this. Look, both are great in their own right. Like, Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. And like I say this, Michael Jordan is arguably the most ruthless person to ever step foot in the basketball court. I'm sure there are a lot of guys that wanted to win, but did you really want to win the way he wanted to win? You know, if anybody watches old NBA highlights, you saw the pain in his eyes when he lost to Detroit. You know, you saw him crying on the sideline. He got tired of getting beat up, you know, put on a weight. He came back hungry and hungrier. That's why you saw the pain after that first, not the pain, but it was just kind of like, oh my God, thank God I finally got it after that first championship. You noticed that, right? Like, so Jordan is ruthless. He's a killer. You know, Kobe Bryant kind of had that same instinct. Just two killers, right? And, you know, the interesting thing about this whole argument is, like, you really can't go wrong either way. And I think a lot of people out of my age, you know, mid-30s and up, it's like, I saw the man live. I saw him play the Garden when I was, like, 9 or 10 years old. The Boys Club gave us tickets. Pretty cool experience. I still remember it, right? And it's like, he's somebody we'll never, ever, ever, ever see again just because of what he did on the court and then, of course, off the court. Like, his brand, everything else is crazy, right? But we're not here about that. We're talking about who he is as a player. You know, I've heard the argument, oh, LeBron's a better all-. Yeah, LeBron's a better all-around player. He is. But at the same time, let me be the first to say, you don't think MJ could play that way if he had to play? You know, Jordan was assigned to do certain things, and he was assigned to be an assassin. an assassin doesn't have time to set everybody else up. You know, it's like, let me get to, I got to kill you. I got to get right to you. You know, and I hate that I'm using such vulgar terms, but that's kind of was his mentality on the court. You know, with this argument, there's a few things you can point out for both, right? Jordan missed 361 games during his career due to retirement. You know, he had the whole baseball thing, and he kind of came back. So, you know, he missed a lot of games, and he missed a lot of games or whatever. And let's say if he played up, he held up, he played straight through, right? I believe those six rings that he got, the 2 3-peats, I think would have been one long. I think they'd have won 8 straight. I think they would have matched the Celtics record. That's just me. But I don't see how he was 30 when he retired, right? I don't see how a Rockets team beats that Bulls team, especially if they make some of those same trades. I really don't see how that works. I mean, I just, you know, after Hakeem, it was like Hakeem, Kenny Smith, right? Otis Thorpe, Robert Horry, Sam Cassell. Those guys were good. But I'm almost willing to say if this guy had to average 45, 50 against him, he would have. And I don't really think they were stronger than those Bulls teams because I think Scottie canceled a lot of other guys out. And I'm sure, you know, maybe with the way everything was going, they make some more moves because Horace Grant eventually went to Orlando after that, you know, after the three-peat, you know, he kind of, you know, he went off and went off the greener pastures and whatnot. But, you know, we don't know how it would have turned out. But I think for one, I just think he would have won until it was, you know, too late to win anymore. With the 361 games that he missed due to retirement, with his career average being 30 points a game, he would have added another 10,830 points to his, you know, to what he already has. He's 32,000+ points. So he'd have been the first person to cross the 40,000 point barrier in NBA history. Because I know a lot of people are always like, oh, LeBron's going to pass Jordan. Well, duh. Of course he's going to pass him. You know what I'm saying? With that being said, LeBron is Karl Malone size. He runs like a deer. His court vision like Magic Johnson. Case in put, he's basically bigger, stronger, faster than Magic Johnson. I think the comparisons with he and Mike end at the number 23. And you can also say something about the off the court things, but we're not here for that. We're here for, you know, for what, you know, the comparisons on and off the, you know, for on the court. I think he does some things better than Mike. It's okay. He passes better than Mike. You know, he may be a little bit more of a, he may jump a little higher, but I beg to differ because Mike was insanely athletic when he was in his prime, you know, just cat quick. I mean, you know, look, but he's also doing something that's pretty amazing. You know, he's 1,585 rebounds away from 10,000, 1,792 assists away from 10,000, you know, from 10,000. So the next 2.5 to 3 years, he's probably going to reach the rebound, and then maybe 3 to 3.5, he'll kind of catch the assist record unless he decides to average 10 assists next year, which is possible because he averaged about 9 this season, right? So he's going to be the first person, as I always like to say, that's going to have a career triple-double, you know, over 10,000 points, 10,000 assists, 10,000 rebounds. It's insane because obviously you can't get 10,000 steals and so forth. So the fact that he's actually going to be the first person on record to do it, and I don't know anybody else that's on record because, again, Oscar Robertson may have definitely, you know, no, Oscar Robertson doesn't have 10,000 assists and so forth. And I don't even know if they kept track of everything that these guys did because, you know, blocks didn't come into a play, steals, all this other stuff, right? But the fact that he's doing something and he scores as much as he scored, he has a great outside chance of hitting 40,000. And, you know, it's impressive, everything that he's done. And I bring those up to say, look, they both do things differently that the other one does something that the other one doesn't do. You know, I think Mike has more of a killer instinct. And I think Mike is the guy you're going to want with the ball in your hands, in his hands after. Because, yeah, everybody says the ring argument gets thrown out. And it should get thrown out because, you know, like, you can't really say. You know, you can't really call Bill Russell the greatest because he has 11. I don't think, you know, the errors are different, but I think if you translate errors, I still think Jordan is something we've never seen him even still, you know, but that's just me. I'm not the guy yet. So when I get there, my voice gets a little louder. You know, I'll speak out a little bit more, but this is my humble opinion right now. Mike's the guy you want with the ball in his hand. Mike's the guy you want, you know, game 7. You know, you want to kind of get a rally going. Mike's your guy. You know, I get it. LeBron plays on both ends of the court, but so does Mike. You know, I will say LeBron's bigger. His size and strength, his agility, his athleticism is insane. It's crazy. But I'm going to go with Mike, right? And it's not like it's a huge margin. It's not a huge margin. But I'm going to say Mike is the guy that I want with the ball in his hands at the last, you know, when the game's at the tail end. That's what I want. You know, I don't want anybody that's going to kind of, you know, I'm not saying LeBron kind of doesn't want to step up and get the last shot, but I'm just going to go with Mike just because of, you know, his track record. You know, LeBron's had some, you know, he has a track record in some games in the finals. He kind of went and clammed up. You know, here's a guy, you know, we got Mike. He averaged 41 against Phoenix. You know, that's the finals record still to this day. So I'm going to go with Mike. You know, the argument is just still there. And it's just kind of, for me, at the end of it, I just say, let them both be great. We're never going to ever see Mike again. We're never going to see LeBron again. So to be Carmelo size, right, to be the same weight, maybe a little bit more, because I think about 270, so they say, to run the way he runs, to jump the way he jumps, it's pretty impressive. It's insane. We've never seen nothing like it. At the end of the day, look, he's going to be on Mount Rushmore with Jordan, right? One of the three best to ever play the game. You can pick who you decide is your three or four best ever. You know, LeBron, Jordan, and we could probably put Kareem up there, and my other guy's going to be Wilt. You know, these guys are the best guys to play the game. You know, we got those four spots. You know, those are the best guys that ever play the game. You know, everybody does something different. You know, you can even switch up and put Magic in there. You know, Magic got his career cut short for obvious reasons, but his argument is kind of like, same thing again and again and again. It's like everybody wants to dethrone the king. Like, look, Mike is Mike. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mike is Mike. So, let it be. Great argument, but, you know, it just kind of gets old or whatever. Today, the NBA announced all rookie teams. First team, Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Kyle Kuzma, Lauri Markkanen. Second team, Dennis Smith Jr., Josh Jackson, Lonzo Ball. People who are like, oh, Lonzo Ball should have made the first team. Listen, he had a bad year, right? He had a bad year from a field goal percentage standpoint. He had a lot of things didn't go right for him this year, but he was great. And some people I've seen online, oh, he's a bum, he's a bust. Bro, 10-7-7 in the NBA is in a bust. Didn't really come out the gate and get smoking the way we thought he would because, you know, you got his father hyping him up. It's a lot. So we don't really know what they expect and what to make of it, you know, but it is what it is. You know, you can't really knock anything, you know, anything about it, but he had a great year. John Collins and, you know, Bogdan Bogdanovich from Sacramento ended out. I just want to say something about the all-rookie team here, right? I have no problem with the all-rookie team. It's great. It's perfect. Everybody deserves their spots. It's cool. But I got one thing, man. Who's the idiot that voted for Jason Tatum to be in the second team? Like, bro, really? Like, I hope they really put this person out there. It's like, bro, come on. Why would you do that, man? What's the point? Like, what are you getting out of it? Did you feel good about yourself? You know, because it's like some people do things to kind of get their name out there a little bit more. But it's ridiculous now. Like, nothing about that kid's game this year was second team all-rookie. This dude was legit. You know, if he was the feature on another team, he probably could have easily averaged 20. You know, he probably should have been the first pick this year. But, I mean, Boston got that guy anyway. Just like, damn, you look at it, he had one vote for the second team. It's like, bro, were you that mad about something? It had to be an old Celtic hater or something like that. So, it's a little crazy. We also have the NBA draft lottery. It came out last week. The order came out. So, as expected, you know, Phoenix got the first pick. So, there's a lot of rumors. Luka Doncic, you know, he's coming back. He's going to be the first pick. You got Sacramento number 2, Atlanta at 3, Memphis at 4, Dallas at 5, you know, Orlando at 6, you know, you got Chicago at 7, Cleveland 8, the Knicks 9, Philly at 10, Charlotte at 11, the Clippers have the 12th and 13th picks, then you got the Denver Nuggets and they got the 14th pick. You know, my Knicks fan, we didn't really do too well last year, so you got a lot of things floating around. So Luka Doncic is expected to be the first pick. You know, he's over in the EuroLeague. You know, he's out there killing it, doing his thing, doing what he's supposed to do. He's out there killing, making noise. He's got MVP of the EuroLeague, Final Four MVP. So this kid's a stud. Definitely the future. Definitely think he's going to translate really well. You got DeAndre Ayton as well. He's just one of those guys. You're just like, damn, he's for real. He's the real deal. He's legit. You know, but we'll see. You know, Doncic is, you know, 19 years old. You know, Real Madrid. He's incredible. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. You got a slew of other talent out there. You got Marvin Bagley III. You got Mo Bamba, who's a, you know, great defensive center, 7'10 wingspan, insane and crazy. You got a lot of talent, you know. Michael Porter Jr. started that going to Cleveland. You know, it's one of the mock drafts I'm seeing. You know, you got Colin Sexton going to the Knicks, which would be a great pickup because he kind of has that Russell Westbrook mentality. You got Mikal Bridges from Villanova. He slotted to go to Philly. You know, big man Robert Williams slotted to go to Charlotte. And I'm seeing, like, Lonnie Walker from Miami and Kevin Knox from Kentucky. It's like they go 12 and 13 to the Clippers. And at 14, you got Miles Bridges from Michigan State. Now, this can fluctuate because you already know how the draft goes. But a lot of great talent coming out. You know, this draft is loaded. A lot of freshmen, a lot of, you know, international talent. You know, so it's one of those things, man. But that's just it. That's just how it goes right now. So NBA draft should be interested. Just still looking forward to the way the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals pan out. But you know, that should be it for now, as far as that goes. I want to talk about something else before we kind of get going. I want to talk about the Las Vegas Knights. You know, they kind of had a real, real, real big run. This year is their first year in existence. You know, they reached the Stanley Cup their first year in existence. Started the season with 500-1 odds to win the Stanley Cup. And now they're here. I don't know who bets. I'm not really a betting man. But I'm going to say if you put any kind of money down on that 500-to-1 bet, you may cash out because they look real good. I mean, they kind of got a strike while the iron is hot right now. You know, it's one of those situations now where it's like, you know, they got 22 free agents. They had a veteran, you know, they grabbed a lot of veterans in the draft, in the expansion draft. It's never really happened in any other sport. You know, the NBA, any other team, their first year, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they stunk. You know, you look at the Miami Heat, they stunk their first couple of years, and they eventually got a couple championships. You know, Toronto Raptors, they stunk. Vancouver Grizzlies, they stunk. They eventually moved to Memphis. But nobody's ever really good. This hasn't really happened in the NBA, at least not in my lifetime. It hasn't really happened. But they're pretty good, though. So I know it's a Stanley Cup, and it's like, oh, it's, you know, I can't sit here and tell you much about hockey because I'm not that hockey guy, but I can definitely fill you in when I need to, you know. But right now they're waiting on the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Washington Capitals, who are going to Game 7 tomorrow. So we'll see how that works out and who they'll end up competing against, you know. It's been a great time, you know, like, to be a sports fan as well. You know, it's kind of all these great things happening. You know, all these great, like, how should I say, these young great baseball players are coming up. You know, the Washington Nationals, they got Juan Soto, if I'm not mistaken. That's his name. He, a young player. He just hit a home run in his first at-bat. Definitely good. Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm sucking on his name. Juan Soto, his first at-bat. Got called up 19 years old. Found a great player. You know, so a lot of things that's happening right now, you know. Sports have been just kind of quiet, you know. I haven't really talked about much. You know, you got a few things going on in baseball. You know, Yankees, ESPN released their power rankings the other day. You know, we got Yankees in first, Red Sox second. We got the Houston Astros third, the Braves fourth, Chicago Cubs at five, Nationals at six, Phillies at seven, Dodgers, you know, Los Angeles Angels at eight, the Cardinals at nine, and Milwaukee Brewers at 10. You know, so since I've been off, it really hasn't been much. So, you know, I'm just talking about this basketball stuff for now and a lot of things that's been going on with the NBA and things of that nature. But, you know, I just wanted to really, you know, get back on the fold with this, get back on the horse. I kind of dropped the ball a little bit, not being around as much. But, you know, definitely I'll be back. I'll be a little bit more consistent. You know, we got the finals coming up. We got the NBA draft coming up, things of that nature. You know, right now, I don't know if you follow, you know, been following the whole saga with the Kawhi Leonard thing. You know, San Antonio is apparently going to offer him the Supermax, $219 million for 5 years. Hopefully they can restore their relationship. Hopefully it gets better because that's a lot of money to kind of give up, you know, to just sit down on and things of that nature. You know, the other day, and there's a few things that happened in the sports world 2 days ago. Right now it's May 22nd. May 20th was the day 18 years ago, former New York City legend and St. John's star, NBA player Malik Sealy died in a car accident, you know, drunken driving incident, came from Kevin Garnett's party. You know, that happened, so I kind of want to send a shout-out, prayers to his family, because I know it's been a while. I know it's been hard every year when that comes around. He's only 30 years old, so, you know, he had a few years left in him to play. He's unfortunate, you know, just he's one of those guys. He was awesome. He was a kid growing up in New York. You always knew the name. Kind of like I was younger when he was playing at St. John's, but he always knew the name. You read the paper, you see that Malik Sealy name come up, you know. 2 days ago also, you know, greatest rapper ever, you know, and give a shout-out to him, Biggie Smalls, the Notorious B.I.G., I think turned 46. So, you know, he's been gone for a few years as well, but his birthday came, and obviously, you know, internet, everything was on fire, just sitting there talking about him. And he's great. Like I said, he's a great rapper, you know, a great ambassador for rap. You know who he was. Unfortunately, he was tragically, you know, shot down. So everybody knows who Biggie is, obviously, but definitely happy birthday to him. I want to say something else as well. You know, I seen Netflix gave him a rock for Michelle Obama. You know, they gave him a multi-year deal to kind of make shows and films. Pretty impressive, you know, that we actually have, we got a former, you know, former president, former first lady still in the White, you know, that was in the White House that had such a cultural impact. Got out here still doing different things and kind of helping push the culture forward in general, just the culture overall. So pretty awesome. You know, whether you like them, love them, hate them, whatever your political affiliation is, it is what it is. You know, they're doing their thing. Can't really knock it. I mean, they're out here getting it. So, you know, we haven't had very many presidents that were out there doing it. And like the WNBA season, right? Before I go, I know I'm just kind of jumping into it really, really quick, right? So the WNBA season kind of just got off to a start a couple days ago. And as I sit there and I talk about it, you know, I look at this and I just saw something today. It was a chart. It said the average NBA WNBA salary is $72,000. The highest is $107,000. Now, look, I get it. You know, the NBA has an average of $6.2 million, and the highest is $34.6 million, right? And I know some people are going to say, yo, they don't really sell out arenas. they don't do this, they don't do that. Listen, it's got to be some kind of compromise in which they can get paid a little bit more. I may have brought this up before, said something about it before, tweeted about it before. It's just like, bro, really? Like, let's find a way to get them. Let's find a way to get them more. Let's find a way to do more for them. And you know, listen, I get it. It's a business thing. So sometimes business, I'm just speaking. I don't see the numbers. I don't know what goes into it, how much they make, blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure, you know, the NBA is behind it. I don't know if it's separate teams that are doing it. It's under the NBA umbrella. But a lot of these ladies have to go to Russia. They've got to go to China. And although you're getting paid a boatload of money, like, a lot of times you look at it, just like, it can't be fun. I know that money's good and those checks are good, but after you get all that money, you're just like, what am I doing? You know, I've seen situations on Real Sports where it's like the girls out in Russia, no Wi-Fi. It was terrible. It's just kind of crazy, you know? That's just the way I see it. But I saw this chart and it kind of really set me back. And I get it. They won't make what the guys make because the season isn't as long. There's a lot more behind it with the guys. But I just think, you know, the powers that be should do something, you know? They're too talented. You know, they got too much to offer. If you look at a lot of the best basketball games you've ever seen, the best game I've seen all year was women's games. You know, you go to Notre Dame's run, their championship run. You know, the final, the women's final four. Like, everything was exciting. Everything was women's basketball, you know, and I get it. Like, it's a business thing, and people are who they are. We can't change people, but I just really wish they got put to the forefront a little bit more just because they offer so much to the game. And, you know, if you want to teach your kids basketball, you're going to probably look at a WNBA game because that tape is what your kid needs to, that tape is what your kid needs to look at. That's just my humble opinion, though. You know, I just, you know, you see things, you speak on it. I got a daughter, so, you know, it's kind of like I don't want my daughter to be in her field making a lot less than our male counterparts just because, you know. But that's just me, you know. I'll stop it there, you know. But again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for always tuning in. You know, I appreciate it. You know, I'm cutting this one short right now. That's all I have for the day. But I'm definitely going to be a little bit more consistent. I'll be back, you know, check out my articles on all things hoops. Shout out to my man Cal over there. Shout out to the team over there. You know, we're making moves. We're making things happen. Just got the Brad Stevens article up right now on Celtics head coach Brad Stevens and, you know, what he means to the culture, what he's doing out there, with, you know, the culture of coaching, what he's doing with Boston and, you know, where we think he's going to go in the future. So check us out. You know, check out my guys over there at A-Game Podcast. They're doing some real special things as well. You know, getting the culture out there, you know, letting you know about the guys that you probably forgot about basketball-wise. You know, just pay attention. Stay close to us, you know. Stay close to me as well, man. I thank you for everything. Appreciate you, man. Again, go follow my peoples. Go follow me. My boy, here I am, Jamal Bolton, signing off. I'll be back with you guys in a few days. Peace.